Hey, beautiful people. I'm Mila.
Hey, y'all. I'm Monica.
And thanks for joining us.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, how are you?
I am doing amazing, honey. Amazing. I mean, I'm getting a chance to catch up with you, and we have been definitely on the go and taking care of business this spring. So I am excited to get caught up with you. So how are you doing?
I am well. You know, like you said, we're getting caught up on some things. Spring has sprung and I got a little pep in my step. The sun came out a little bit, then went back. But it'll come back out again. So
yes.
Yeah, we are. It's officially a new year. Like I said, I'm just getting some stuff done because around the corner for me. So that's when, you know, when I am gonna be all ready.
You'll be in your season for sure. You know, your lioness will be in full summer glory. That's how I like to look at it. Yes, yes. Okay, well, I know that it is still Women's History Month, Women's Month. I hear it referred to by both ways, and I'm down for anything, really. Whether it's history or just a celebration of just womanhood, this is the month. So I know that we do have some interesting things to discuss. You're bringing us some hot fire stories, and you know, it's gonna be another good time. So let's get into it, Monica. What's on your plate right now?
Well, I did want to touch on today is March 25th as we're recording this, and it is a full moon. And so this full moon is called the Warm Moon Penumeral Lunar Eclipse. That's a mouthful, but I just wanted to touch on, it's a powerful moon in balanced Libra, bringing important endings and renewals, tapping into your power and manifesting your destiny. It's going to bring up inevitable endings, realizations, redirections, serving renewal and forward motion. Also releasing negativity, weaknesses, lower vibes, but also people who no longer serve you, sudden shifts. And understand that fate is something you cannot control. It manifests through transformations and redirections. Everything happens for a reason. And like I said, a season. Some people come into our lives for lessons and a season. Others are meant to stay for a lifetime. Your future already manifested. And the next weeks will show you in 3D. And so you're going to welcome a series of upgrades, breakthroughs, positive changes, and, you know, level up in your next. What's going on in your life? You're going to level up. Sprinkle, sprinkle.
I love that. I see you've been, when I felt the sprinkle, I said, oh Lord. But I do like the releasing lower vibrations. I mean, it is spring. So we are looking forward to that growth. Literally, we planted seeds and got things ready in the winter. And now, you know, well, planted seeds now in the spring. And we're definitely looking forward to that growth. So that's good. Okay. I see you. I see you. I'm here for all that good stuff. I said, that's what time it is. So, you know, it is Women's Month. And we were looking at things like happiness, best places for women to live and thrive and do well, especially Black women. And then you had a story, Monica. And you know what? Sometimes you got to start with that juicy story and then everything else will figure itself out. But you were telling me about a story that was recently featured on everywhere, but sometimes people miss things because I had totally missed it. And it was like, honey, I'm sure Law & Order SVU will be making this into an episode and in the coming weeks. So stay tuned. But Monica, tell us about your story.
I don't want to say this is a juicy story. It's not juicy at all.
Not at all. It's definitely a PSA. I feel like it's a public safety announcement. Like, we remind you, ladies, sisters, come on.
So, yeah, this was published March 13th. Alleged serial rapist with HIV arrested in North Texas. And this is coming from CBS News. Carlton, Texas, a 25-year-old man with HIV is in custody for his alleged involvement in a series of rapes. Child, his name is Carlton Tobago. I might have chopped it up, but y'all know what I'm trying to say. He's currently in the Denton County Jail. He was taken into custody on February 12th after authorities were contacted by a sexual assault survivor receiving treatment at a local hospital. On February 13th, he was charged with second sexual assault offense. Since then, detectives have contacted and identified four additional victims, police say. And they believe there's even more victims. Child, this is a mess. They suspected he had victims in Dallas-Fort Worth, Metroplex, Houston, and Atlanta. That victims have not even, you know, came forward yet.
Right.
And so they may be unaware. So they're, you know, getting this report out, this news out, because some, you know, survivors may be unaware that they're, you know, are service advocates to assist them, you know, going through this process. So
I'm getting themselves tested and fought.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We'll put the link in the show notes, but
well, you said CNN. I saw it on YouTube.
No, I didn't say Fox. CNN. I said CBS News.
Oh, CBS News. Sorry. I saw it on YouTube and Fox 4, one of the local stations down in Texas, and they had his picture. And I encourage you to go and take a look at that picture, because it could be someone that you know or someone who you saw with someone you know, and they might not have any idea that this man is not only being a sexual predator, but then he is intentionally trying to inflict harm on them, you know? So even more physical, you know, harm on them. So that's one girl I was,
well, like I said, you know, you gotta nowadays you might want to get the test. I need to see your test first before I see your credit score.
Oh man, you know, I mean, you know what, I guess, I mean, that's a powerful conversation. When do you bring that up though? I mean, I know that there are people who are bold. See, that's interesting, because this is a whole sidebar conversation, Monica. Like, you're trying to be funny, but I know that you're someone who you'll ask right up. You're on top of all your testing. You don't F around. So, you know, because you've already said that on the show. So I'm not disclosing, like, oh, I just told all our business.
If you have insurance, or even if you don't have insurance, there's free services that you can go get tested. And if you are sexually active, I don't care if you single, married, divorced, poly, or whatever, monogamous, non-monogamous, you should at least every 6 months, if you are sexually active, commit a relationship, because you just never know what people are doing.
And girl, and see, and I'm one of those that, you know, sometimes you're in a committed relationship, and then once you know you're good going into it, you know, I never think back of, you know, I never think about it moving forward, but you're like, stay vigilant, because you just really don't know. And it's important. And that is important. And that is definitely something, like I said, I might feel lax, but I know you do not play around. And it is definitely something to know. And especially, I know sometimes people like to just put things behind them and move on, but on certain things, you probably should go get checked, just so that you know, because, you know, there's a lot of levels and elements to being assaulted. So, you know, that's just, you know, because it's too deep. I was like, we are not even going to be able to touch the tip of the surface on that. Neither would I want to, or would I want to seem callous or disrespectful, because, honey, women are getting assaulted every day at a astronomical rate when you really think about it. And sometimes it's not the thing that you see on the TV, the really, like,
acquaintance rate. But we delved into that in the episode, I Got the Power. So you can go back.
Yeah, we sure did. Ooh, and that was such a good episode too, girl, honey. That was, so that was from last year, right? I Got the Power?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so yeah, I love, and it really talked about what it feels like to be a woman and to really have power. I love it. Okay, so that was kind of intense. So then after you shared that, then I shared my story. And mine were a little bit lighter. But then, you know, you definitely have some interesting questions about it. And I was one of the articles that I had come across had to actually deal with where Black women were the happiest, like where they were the most successful, financially capable and thriving and doing well. And that brought up a whole host of conversations for us. So, Monica, were you surprised when you found out? Because we're definitely going to go over the top five. And then also talk about one of the cities that was considered least friendly, least place of success for Black women. So let's start off, I guess, with the best cities. Were you surprised when you found out the number one city? Were you surprised when you found out the city that was the best for Black women?
Yeah, because I'm like, ain't no way in hell I'm living in Southfield, Michigan. It's too cold. There's no beach. Like, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. So that part made me laugh too. You were like, I'm like, yeah, it's Southfield, Michigan. Okay, they got a final score of 100. And then the next place, though, I had heard about some academics and some people I really trust had been telling me that Pearland, Pearland, but I think it's called Pearland, Texas. Anyway, it was number two, and then Carson, California, Port St. Lucie, Florida, was number four.
Port St. Lucie, that's tempting because you know,
yeah, it's the heat, the sun, yes, exactly, yeah, water and all that comes with it. It's like you're kind of on an island in the United States. So, yeah, I mean, really, because you're going to deal with island stuff like hurricane season, but you're going to have perpetual sunshine. You know, definitely yeah, something. I mean,
you can
live
there for 6 months. Yeah. Go back to wherever for 6 months.
Oh, I could definitely see that. Oh, I'm not opposed to Florida. And then Norwalk, Connecticut was the number five. So those were the top of the 25 best cities for Black women, according to this article by Money Geek. And, you know, they had looked at different things like access to, you know, crime, to health care, home ownership, educational attainment. And it was, you know, I said, okay, I can believe it.
You know what? Did they look at, they didn't look at like availability of men for relationships, did they?
You know, I don't know. I'll say this. They said income, poverty rate, home ownership, educational attainment. They said and the entire population nationally and locally, the local Black population and the cost of crime in the area were included in the ranking. So, I mean, in a way, I guess these places obviously have a Black population because that goes along with criteria for the ranking. So yes, in a way they did. Sister, yes, in a way they did.
Oh my goodness. Did you go down further and number 25 was Renton, Washington?
See, girl, that's a lot. And look at Alexandria, Virginia was number 24. Shout out to Virginia because I, you know, used to be there. And Virginia Beach was number 17, honey. There's something to that. VA is for lovers. But I am proud of Renton. You know what?
Yeah. Maryland's on there. Frederick, Maryland. I have a friend in Frederick, Maryland. Yeah, okay. I do like Maryland.
Yeah, see, even though it does get cold, baby girl, it does get cold.
It does, but it gets warm too.
Yeah, but I like the whole, you know, I'm a big fan of VA. So, I mean, but shout out to Renton, though, for making the list of, you know, 25 best cities for Black women. Now,
I don't know about the safety aspect of Renton, but.
Ooh, girl, because, honey,
they've had two too many shootings at South Center Mall.
Well, that's not considered Renton, though.
South Center Mall?
No, that's considered Tukwila and South Center. No, that's not considered Renton at all.
Like your favorite word right now is adjacent.
Oh, so now you're ready to quote me? Oh, ain't that about. Girl, you're a mess.
It's close enough. When I tell people, you know, parts of Lakewood is cool or like Tacoma, they be like, don't nobody go to Tacoma. There's parts.
Yeah, there's parts. But I understand better though. Lakewood is its kind of own thing too. You know, Tacoma's Tacoma, Lakewood is Lakewood. It is kind of like Renton in Seattle.
Right.
Maybe more like Skyway in Seattle. You choose what Skyway. you get to decide. And then
it says 15 worst cities for Black women. Number 10, Seattle, Washington.
Oh, you try to jump ahead with that hating. You better stop that hating, because I'm definitely representing for the 206 always. But that is
Tacoma's not on there.
Does Tacoma even count? I mean, not trying to be funny, but I mean, they're talking about major cities and major players.
Well, I guess it didn't come up in the scoring for the worst city.
I know. Well, Denver did, though. Isn't that fun? I mean, I always think of them as like a sister city to Seattle. So I'm like, wow.
You said Denver.
Yeah, Denver, Colorado. They came up at number 13 as 15 worst cities for Black women. They were on the list. But you are right.
Oh, I didn't go down.
Yeah, take that victory lap then, Monica. You were right.
I never would.
Tacoma ain't on the list. Tacoma ain't on the list.
Tacoma's not on the list, nope.
But I definitely could have shouted that from the rooftops. I know we were talking about, you had found out, I guess, what the medium income or was to be happy in a city. And you were telling me the amount. And I started laughing because I remember when that was like 70,000 in Seattle, 75,000 in Seattle. And they were still talking about that's not what sisters were making, not even with education. And then I'm not really surprised, because look at what they did to Carmen Best. I mean, I've had my own adventures in the workforce in Seattle and being significantly underpaid and underappreciated, even though I definitely was qualified, or at least that's what that degree from Seattle. Anyway, yes, I let a lot of people, they have played in my face, and I am a Black woman that has worked in the city in which she lives primarily, and that is Seattle, Washington. So that part doesn't surprise me. It's infuriating, but, you know. It's like that, and that's the way it is. You got to do better, Seattle, you know?
Right.
I'm like, man, Seattle's worried about all kind of issues, but, you know, we got to do just better in general for everybody, you know? That equity they always are talking about. Anyway, so now that we realize that there are places where people are doing really well and where they're not doing so well, let's take it to the global perspective, Monica. What do you think about the list of the countries where people are the happiest? And this report was released by CNN earlier this month. What do you think about the place where people are considered the happiest?
Again, it's too cold. I might go there to visit, but no bueno.
We found out it was very interesting. Finland was the number one. Yeah.
It's cold.
Denmark was number two. Iceland was number three.
You know, I was listening to a podcast with Jemele Hill and Jill Scott. And
okay.
It was from the pandemic, but I don't know if she had republished it or anything. But Jill Scott was talking about she was looking at other places to live outside of the U.S. And she had mentioned, I think she had mentioned like Denmark and Finland too, because, you know, what you're going to say, you know, they had the, you know, good schools and, you know, just
social. Oh, yeah. Because I knew you'd ask, you said, what are the criteria? Mm-hmm. And we were going over like this. Survey was done over 3 years. Mm-hmm. It looked at the GDP per capita, the social support, you know, like whatever kind of social, whether it's insurance, healthcare, whatever, those kind of benefits, healthy life expectancies, freedom, generosity, and perceptions of corruption. So the places that were ranked top or highest had high thieves and low corruption, high freedom, high social supports. And I know that some of those countries that were in the top, the Northern European countries, they also have things like really long maternity and paternity care leave.
Right.
You know, so like moms can be off for like 14 months in some countries, even longer, while and families and children, truly people having children, which it doesn't matter like how or what the family structure is. It's just you procreating. They don't just say it's important and then have nothing to back it up, kind of like we would do in the United States. Right. You know, they actually back it up. Like, children are wonderful. We want you to have them. We want you to have healthy, happy children. Mm-hmm. So we want you to bond with your children. We want you to be off with your children, you know, nurture them, breastfeed, do all the things that we have, you know, done historically for healthy, happy kids, you know, that are natural and good and things that you're supposed to do. So anyway,
I mean, it's nice and enticing. It's just the geographic location. I can't. No.
I don't blame you one bit. But the number 12, though, I know you had mentioned Costa Rica because it was one of those blue zones that we were having a discussion about. So sidebar, will you remind people what the blue zones are, Monica?
Where people live the longest.
Yeah.
I mean, in layman's terms. Yeah.
Yeah, truly. Yeah. They have specific diets. They are able to be active and have social community. And it's like all these things work in their favor. So, yeah. So Costa Rica, though, it was the top. It was number 12. So that's pretty good. And the United Kingdom was number 20. And I mentioned that because, of course, you didn't hear us mention the United States. It wasn't in the top 20. It was number 23 this year. And they spoke about how it had fallen significantly, you know. Well, it had fallen, and there's a lot of things to attribute to that as well, since you see what the list is based off. So, yeah, I don't know. Hopefully we can, you know, return to being happy. What I think is interesting is that they have, and no shade to these countries, but I mean, they do have countries like Kuwait on the list. They have like Lithuania on the list of people. And I'm like,
they had Israel. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. And we know what's, but it's because they looked over the last 3 years and they didn't just take what started to happen last year against their overall happiness.
Oh, and other I think things. Then that article can be a little misleading then.
But what I will say is, those countries still outrank the United States for happiness. So we are doing some. I mean, people.
Well, you know what? And
happiness.
Happiness is a state of mind. So
get free. Get happy.
Yeah.
Get happy. Don't
create your own happiness.
Thank you. Please don't be digesting a constant meal of of the news and those and the worries of the world. Because, you know, you can tune in to know how to help, to know what to do, to be aware. But please don't make that your steady diet, because it's toxic.
Please don't wake up in the morning and that be what you wake up in the morning or go to bed with. Because, it's definitely toxic. I'm listening to frequencies when I go to bed. Okay.
Oh, that's okay. Well, let us know about it, Monica. We have done a bit then. You know, I think it was just important that we got together. I do love the fact that we had a PSA, so that's a successful check. I do love the fact that we talked about happiness, places where sisters can go, places where people are supposedly happiest.
You know what makes me happy? Music. Music makes me happy, and I just need to let you know, girl, because it was popping up all over. Spring and summer is going to be a lot of festivals and a lot of tours coming up. But three tours that I have to mention to y'all. Eric Roberson, you know, that's one of my favorite artists. His 30th anniversary tour is kicking off. Yeah. Maxwell, Jasmine Sullivan in October, London. Serenade tour. Tickets go on sale Friday. And then the R&B.
So they coming to Seattle? Like, is it just North America?
Hold on. And the R&B Money Tour with Tank, Carrie Hilson, and Carl Thomas. I don't know if these people come to Seattle. Sometimes they do something. I don't want to see them in Seattle. I want to take a trip. So y'all get your coins together and let's plan some trips, because I don't want to see them in Seattle.
Okay, well, that is fair. So I guess you're just letting us know that they're out. And it's interesting because, speaking of, you know, new music and things like that. You know, a couple of months ago, I guess towards the end of last year, Andre 3000 put out that album of the flute music.
I love it. Yes,
and it was really wonderful. And then I was looking at Little John's new album, Total Meditation, and I was, you know, listening to a little bit of that, and you know, listening, he did an interview where he was discussing, you know, why now. You know, he talked about turning 50 and really becoming proactive with his health. And so he has this
better late than never.
Yeah, he said, you can't be yeah all the time. He said, sometimes you just have to meditate. He said, and he does this in the morning. He does this at night. He said he still believes in God, so it's not replacing that. It's just kind of calming him, centering him, letting him focus on the things that are that make him happy, that he is blessed to have, you know, and just being present. So he does have an official meditation album. So if you like to get crunk with Lil Jon in the club and at the parties, then maybe you can also unwind and turn it down with a total meditation. I was impressed. It's a whole vibe. So something else in the music space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'll have to listen to that. I did see I didn't watch the interview, but I did see it. It's on my list on YouTube to watch.
Okay. I know you got lots of things that you've been keeping up with, Monica. They sometimes probably, they don't even know, girl. You have your hands and your fingers in all of these interesting places. You know about a lot of things. Okay, you definitely know at least a little bit about a lot, so mm-hmm. I appreciate that. Now, honey, what is the business of the week? Because you had given me a little taste of this business, and I love what this business is about, and I love that this business needs our support, especially right now. So what's the business of the week, Monica?
Well, since, you know, it is spring and, you know, everyone loves their sneakers and you got to keep them white, you got to keep them clean. So the business is Our Soul, or they go by The Resole on Instagram. And so this is Seattle's premier sneaker cleaning service. And this is women-owned, Black-owned, and Takiya, what they call her, T-Dub Ward, is the brain behind this effort and hopes to create much needed space for sneaker enthusiasts. She studied art of customizing, cleaning, and restoring for over 20 years. And so that is what she has now in The Resole. And so she spends most of her days researching latest trends, custom designs, products, accessories, and the resale market. And they are located at 1133 24th Avenue, Suite M as in Mary, in Seattle, Washington. And so that is the business. Also, unfortunately, earlier this month, the business was broken into, and they had took about 25 pairs of shoes. And so she's asking, you know, the public to help, you know, locate them. So we'll have the link on our show notes, but yeah, check out her Instagram and go check out the store. You know, it's time to get them sneakers clean and white and sparkly. You
so
know?
Fresh and so clean, clean. Okay. Yep. I don't like it. Just in time for the spring. So, all right, Monica. Well, I think we did everything we needed to do. It was good catching up with you. I look forward to next time. Thanks for hanging in there with us, people. Have a good rest of your week. Stay safe.
And be kind.
Monica, where can they find us at again?
You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartMedia, Amazon, and Google Play. And our social media platforms are Instagram, Twitter, which is known as X, and also TikTok.
All right. Remember to call your aunties and your girlfriends and say hi. Hey. Bye.